Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you as we have this pioneering heart to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
You want to turn to those on your left and your right and just say welcome to those around you. If you want to give them a fist punch, that's also good. But I just say welcome to all those around you that you don't know. It's so good to have everyone here this morning. Sorry. Wonderful. I'd like to just pray and just give thanks to God for our time together and as we approach God's word. Father, we thank you that you give us your word to bring life and life abundantly. And Lord, we just thank you that as we come to be disciples and to be discipled through your word, we pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, there would be transformation in every one of our lives today. And out of this word today, Lord, that we would gain victory in life. And that, Lord, we would follow you and we'll not just gain knowledge, but truly today, Lord, that Holy Spirit, that you bring revelation to every one of us here in the meeting and those online. I pray, Father, for the depth of understanding Christ today. So, Lord, will you honor your name? Will you glorify your name today? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God had a problem when he created man. And you know what that problem was? When he gave free will to man to make decisions. And then this devil that was kicked out of heaven came and tempted man. And we know the story and the reality. It's not just a story. I believe it's a reality. Adam and Eve, where there was temptation that came to Adam and Eve, and they succumbed to the leading to be disobedient to God. And that's where sin came. And unfortunately, at that situation, what actually happened, mankind was subjected to a sinful nature. Every one of us was subjected to that. And God saw this problem, and he said, well, how am I going to sort it out? And he thought, well, let me choose a group of people that are stubborn and obstinate and don't want to listen, and let me show my grace to them and my love to them, and I'll give them the law, the Mosaic law that came through Moses, and let's see if they can obey me. Failure. Israel failed. It could never get to a place of obeying God because the level of living in the Spirit was too high. And I really believe in the throne room of God at that time. I think Father, Son, and Holy Spirit said, what is the solution? And they said, well, we have to sort the solution out. Jesus, will you go? And will you show them the way? And will you make a way that they can overcome the sinful nature? And you know, Jesus, sitting in the throne room of grace, said, I will go. And he came to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, incarnate. And he lived on earth. And he started to show the way of God and reveal that the way of God to overcome the flesh. And Jesus never walked in the flesh ever. He walked in the Spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived in the Spirit. Never had sin in his life. But yet he said, how am I going to deal with the sin? He said, I will go to the cross and I will pay the penalty of sin for every man that ever be born. I will pay the price. And thank God for Jesus. Because otherwise we have a major, 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 major problem, the sin issue. The sinful nature. And when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, this miracle that takes place when you become born again, that no longer do you become a new person, but the power of that sinful nature has been overcome because Christ lives in you. And you can overcome that sinful nature. No longer are you. This is the lie the devil tells you. You're a sinner, but you're forgiven. You're no longer a sinner. You're a child of God. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God with no longer a sinful nature. You've been given a nature of God, but yet we have the propensity to sin. And that's where the devil is still attacking you and I, and we call that the flesh, where we give into the authority of the flesh, the power of our bodies. You see, your spirit has been renewed. Your soul, in your soul, has to be renewed through the Word of God. Your mind, Holy Spirit teaches you the Word of God, but your body, this body will die. But you know, there's temptation in this body. This body is very powerful. There's the desires in you that's very powerful. And we'll read the scriptures what it actually can do. That thing needs to be overcome. But God gives you this powerhouse of Himself within you called Christ. And through Him and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome this body, the flesh, and its desires. And you can live a victorious life in the Spirit. So I come to bring you good news today. We have overcome the flesh, but we have to apply it. So I want to title this message, the letter to the church in Philippi, put no confidence in the flesh. And if you get your Bibles out, I want to read you from the text from Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. We did this last week a bit. We are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. And yet Paul gives a dissertation about himself. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count to loss for the sake of Christ. So I want to deal with three headings. I want to deal with the context of the flesh. What is Paul talking about? His human advantages. And then I want to give an outworking of what not I, but Christ. So the context here of looking at the flesh, the Greek word that we see here is sarx, S-A-R-X. And there's a broad meaning, and we need to divide it. As I said, it can be your body that's got the desires to do evil. We've got to watch out for that. But then it's also in our minds, the carnality, which is opposite to God's nature. And the Bible talks very clearly about our minds that need to be renewed, because we can have a godly mind, a spirit mind, or we can have a carnal mind. And Christians, you can have that because you need to be changed through that. And God wants to bring us to a place where we no longer submit to the flesh or to the things called carnality in our minds. He wants His life that's within us to dominate, that the flesh no longer rules and reigns in our lives. And the good news, again, I come back to this wonderful scripture. You know I love it because I keep on referring to it, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. No longer do we have the flesh that can reign. We have this divine nature. We have this life of God within us that we can overcome the things of the flesh. Galatians 5, Paul gives us some. I want to get into some scripture just to explain this outworking of the flesh and what it is to live in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 25. And yeah, Paul's talking to the church. They got caught up into Judaism. The Judaizers trying to bring them back into Judaism, and he brings them back to walk in the Spirit. From verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, and to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So there's opposition in your being that you need to realize. There's a spirit and there's a flesh. There's a war that you're facing continually. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And we need to see these things because the Bible tells us what they are. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. Wow. When we look at the world, what do we see? We see all that, don't we? We see all that. But yeah, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So Paul was speaking to the church in Galatia and to us today. You need to identify what's of the Spirit and what is of the flesh. And this war that's fighting, you need to put down the flesh, have no confidence in the flesh. And you see, this, the NIV says the flesh is the sinful nature. And I want you to understand that this thing that's trying to work against you all the time. In Romans 8, it gives us some inkling again how to overcome this thing called the sinful flesh. In Romans 8, verse 3-8, for God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin. He condemns sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See the secret? Walk according to the Spirit. That's where God wants us to live, by the Holy Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Minds. Your mind has a key indication of how you would walk. You see, God hasn't made you a robot. He's given you ability to think, and you've given you a will, and you can make decisions of how you're going to walk, whether you're going to walk according to the flesh and walk according to the Spirit. Let me tell you, much of the church walks according to the flesh, not according to the Spirit, and we all need to rectify that, including myself. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So you set a course. There's a course that you set with your mind. Like when you go and you get on a yacht on that, there's a course that you've got to set. You've got to steer the rudder. You're a captain of your ship, and you've got to set the course where you go. And if you don't, you will wander to the flesh. You will not wander to the Spirit. You've got to set the course to walk in the Spirit. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So again, I just emphasize the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, and that's where God wants us to be. This mind, this entity of your soul needs to be renewed. And I really do believe the Spirit of God has been sent to us to renew your mind. That's why it's so important to get the Word of God, to get to be reading the Scriptures, not just reading the Scriptures for the sake and get knowledge, but to get revelation of as your mind gets renewed, because this entity of God, Christ in you, you start to be revealed to you and you start to walk in the reality of the Spirit. You see, it's an important thing. Romans 12, verse 1-2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, with your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And you see, God wants us to get to a place as we live in Christ, is no longer to have confidence in the flesh. We must not have confidence in the flesh. And all of us have got a history. All of us have the ability that we have confidence in our own ways. We've got to get to a place that we've got to live in Christ. So as I said earlier, is that all of us, I believe, none of us are in a place of perfection yet. None of us live in the place of being totally in the Spirit at all times. I watch my own life. And at times I have beautiful times with the Lord, and I come out and I've just been saturated with His presence. I know His presence. I know His love. And then something ugly happens in the life of my family, and something comes out of my mouth which I really dislike. because it's the flesh getting out again. And that vacillation between the flesh and the spirit is a reality in all our lives. And if you tell me you never get into the flesh, I'm telling you, you're a liar. It's a reality. All of us get into the flesh, but we've got to break the authority of that thing. And we've got to get more and more into the spirit. And I really want to help us today, as I believe God wants us to walk in maturity, to walk in the spirit of God. So firstly, as we spoke about the context of the flesh, here we're talking about Paul talking about why he has no confidence. And the context of here is Paul's talking about a confidence, why he can trust in religiosity to be confident in God. So Paul had many advantages from a natural point of view, why he could trust in his background and what he had, that he could actually be someone that be good in a so-called religious way. So we need to be very careful. What are we trusting in for our salvation? So people sometimes, when I look at the world today, when we look at many in the world today, when they think they're safe. You know, when you fill in that form today and they put there, what religion are you? And many people put Christian. But the reality, there's no reality to that, because many people that put Christian there are affiliated to Christian morality, but they're not having Christ in their lives. And that's not a criticism, that's a reality that we need to be saying. So many people today are getting to a place where, because they were baptized or christened as a baby, that they think they are saved. That's not true. Because you need to confess Jesus as your Lord. It's not a reality. So I believe what's very important when it comes to children is that the christening and the baptism of children is actually not biblical. What we see in the scriptures is that we need to dedicate ourselves as parents to the Lord, to raise our children in the ways of the Lord until they can make a right decision to follow the Lord. And that dedication is actually parents dedicating themselves to the Lord to say, Lord, give me strength and give me grace to actually raise my children in the ways of the Lord. And then pray a blessing upon the child, pray protection upon the child, that God will bless that child. God honors those prayers. Some of us think because we say because we've grown up in a Christian family, we think we're safe because we've grown up in a Christian country. This is a Christian country, but we're not safe because we say because we're in a Christian country, because we come of the rich of the correct tribe. We ought to think because you've got an education, you've got a degree, or you come from a royal family. You know, there's many royal families. We find under the Zulu nation, amongst the Eswatini, the people in Swaziland, because you're of that tribe that you're safe. No. It might be because you think you've got the right language that you speak. You maybe think because English is the language of heaven, you're going to go to heaven. No. That's not the reality. Your language, even if you might even speak Hebrew, you might think, well, you've got salvation. No. It might be our religious denomination. We might have thinking because we come of the Presbyterian Church or the Methodist Church, even we think because we have New Covenant Ministries International. No. The Pharisees, Jesus spoke clearly against the Pharisees. They thought they were safe. They were religious people. No. They were not safe. They were not saved. You cannot trust in those things. We might even trust in our temperament, our zeal. These people were zealous for God. That doesn't bring salvation neither, or even our morality, where we think that we are righteous under the Mosaic law. Paul says he was blameless in following the righteousness under the law. That doesn't count for salvation. Paul gets to a place where he says there that I'm happy to lose all these so-called advantages. He put no trust in them. Whatever I had gained, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. So Paul saw himself, all these religious credentials that he had. He was a Hebrew of a Hebrew, circumcised on the eighth day. You know, none of us have been exposed to the Jewish faith, but he was part of that process, and he got to a place, well, I count all those things as nothing. I cannot trust in those things on the outward side. There's got to be a transformation inside. So Paul gets to a place where he says, I need to gain Christ. He's the only way that I can gain salvation. And then Paul gets to this place, what have I gained in Christ? You see, this is the thing that we understand, that you, the package, the person, God that you got is an incredible package. You could never pay for it. You could never, ever work for it. It's by faith. It's grace. It's given to you as you believe. This is what God's. So what have you received? You've received a Savior who saved you from sin and given you eternal life. You've given one that has forgiven you. Let me tell you how powerful forgiveness is. When you are forgiven of your sin and you realize your sin has been forgiven, it's an incredible thing. There's a washing and there's an cleansing of all unrighteousness in your life. I don't know if you, at times, because we are Christians, we still have the propensity to sin. And when you get into that place, when sin comes, it brings guilt and it brings condemnation. But there's no condemnation and there's no guilt and shame in Christ. But you need forgiveness to take place. And I'm telling you now, when you understand what God has forgiven you of, that you can walk in His righteousness, what an incredible blessing to us. Jesus becomes a friend. Oh, Jesus says, you are my friends. He says that in John chapter 15, that yeah, this Jesus that comes into our lives, the Christ. Christ becomes our circumcision. He takes away the wickedness of our hearts. As I said, He became new creations last week. He brings us into a new life, a new experience of Him. He brings us into a new nationality. We become part of the kingdom of God. Do you realize that you belong to the kingdom? You're citizens of heaven. Isn't that incredible? We don't have a physical passport, but your passport says citizen of heaven. And what's going to let you in? Your passport that says you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Cannot deny that. You're a new denomination. You belong. You are God's people. Christ has become your wisdom. Wow, 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 wow. How much wisdom do we need in life today? This deposit of Christ within you is your wisdom, that you call upon His wisdom to make decisions in life and to live life. He's become your righteousness, your status before God, the Father God. You could never get to a place of righteousness before God. Do you know that you have access to the throne room of grace? Hey, the highest place of authority in the universe forever. I'm telling you, it's a great audience to go and be with the President of South Africa, and when you bring your things to him and he makes a decree and it becomes an act of parliament. But my goodness, when you stand before your Heavenly Father and you bring your request before him and you ask in the name of Jesus and he said, so be it, because you have believed. Wow! God Almighty who provides for you. Jesus also is the giver of the Holy Spirit. Incredible. Where would we be without God, the Holy Spirit? Jesus said to his disciples, wait till you receive power on high. Where would we be? If you're not operating in the Spirit by the power of the Spirit, you're going to fail. We need to be in a place where we've been received the Holy Spirit and walk with him. We are seated in heavenly places. We've gained Christ's eternal life. And Paul gets to this place that I have gained Christ. Wow, we need to rejoice now. You have gained Christ. No confidence in the flesh, but you have gained Christ. You don't know what you have received, fuck. You don't know. I don't know what we've received. This person who lives inside of us that have been sealed by the Holy Spirit that has come to live inside. And this is where Paul gets his, don't put any confidence in your flesh. Anything. I was christened in the Methodist church. I went to confirmation class. It was not until I gave my heart to Jesus and I confessed him as my Lord and my Savior is that I gained Christ. And I'm telling you, it's a journey to realize you God provides for you. But let me tell you, whatever assets you have or whatever liability, it means nothing. You have Christ. You have eternal life. Just contemplate that. Eternal life. God's life that you've been given, that yes, you will live on earth for probably 80 plus years if God gives you long life, but you've got eternal life that you're going to be with God forever and ever and ever. But now I want to get to a point where I'm just going to digress a little bit, is to get to a place as we live in Christ. And the third point is not I, but Christ. See, God doesn't want us to live in the flesh, but to live in Christ. You see, as we put no confidence in the flesh, as we are a new spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, walk in the power of the Spirit, and walk in the fullness of the Spirit. You see, Jesus, even as you watch his life, he was incarnate, that he was in the Spirit, but he still needed to be filled with the Spirit. And we see that day when the Spirit came like a dove upon him, and he was filled with the Spirit of God. But then he went and he was tempted. And this is the important thing. The temptation of Jesus is something that we all need to go through, because God wants to reveal the authority and the power of him. You will go through temptation. The devil will tempt you, and your flesh will tempt you. But Jesus overcame in that temptation. And God wants you to overcome. He hasn't removed you here because he wants to reveal Christ and the power of Christ with you, and Christ's way to you, and Christ's life to you as you live life. That's why he hasn't taken, because he wants to reveal how magnificent he is, how wonderful and how all-powerful he is as you live on earth. And we see in the scriptures in Luke is that when Jesus came out of the desert after 40 days of fasting and being tempted by he came out in the fullness of the Spirit. And you're going to have to go through a journey in your life when temptation will come against you, and how you overcome will determine whether you come out in the fullness of the Spirit. That's the journey that every one of us has come. There are many journeys, all of us, and I've at times, yes, I know I've come through, but there are times that I've failed and I've had to go around the mountain again. Because God is on us on a journey to show us Christ. And when persecution comes, when testing comes, you are not exempt from those things. Because God the Father knows he wants to reveal Christ to you, and he wants to see Christ work through you. And this is the joy of relying on Christ in you, because in him you can overcome. For greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. You can overcome. And I bring good news to you, is that you can overcome. So I want to get very practical about this, not I, but Christ. Life throws many situations at us, many circumstances, many situations where we need to react. We need to come with the right way to do things. And a lot of things in life is that you don't always make the decisions about those things, but they are made or brought across your path. It can be when someone talks to you about a situation, you either can get happy or you can get angry. There's a response, there's a reaction from your own heart. How do you deal with that? And all of us are in that. When someone speaks against you and you can lose your temper, you can become irritated, you can try and defend yourself, or you can get into a place to find Christ. Now, there's a reality in all of us, is that we can respond or react according to Christ, or we can respond or react according to the flesh. All of us, every single one of us. You've got that decision. I'm sure you had that decision even this morning before you got there. Was something that came across your path. It might have been a taxi driver that shot the red light that you were coming. How did you react to that thing? Every one of us, you must probably have the multitude of many decisions in the day. How did you respond to it? So I want to get back to the Sermon on the Mount, and how did Jesus tell us what he expects of us, and how are we going to do this? I want to read the scriptures and listen to what the Lord is actually saying to us. How do we need to react to life situations that we find in our lives? This will determine the level of your maturity. Matthew 5, verse 38 to 48. Jesus speaking. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say to you, remember, an eye for an eye was the Old Testament that they were starting to do. And I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him to other, give him your left cheek. If anyone would sue and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. That means if he takes your shirt, let him take your jacket also. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. What did that do? That was in the Roman times. What was happened? That a Roman soldier could walk up to you and he had his heavy bag and you were walking along the road. He can say, here, carry my bag. And their law at that time was that he had to carry it, because the roads were marked in demarcation. They say a mile here. I don't know what it was, but it was, you had to carry it 1 mile. And Jesus says, no, carry it 2 miles, because then you're 4 miles away from where you were. So you got to come back. So you take the inconvenience. You follow my example. Go the extra mile. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Whoa, that is not our nature. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You were Old Testament. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You are therefore must be perfect as your Father is perfect. Wow! That's like impossible. Honestly, that's impossible. If you walk according to the flesh, you will not react in that way. So Jesus came and gave a totally different way. These were disciples that were trained in the Old Testament that it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Is love your enemy, but love your neighbors, but hate your enemy. And Jesus gets to us to another place. He says, No. The kingdom of God is not like that. I am not like that. I want to show you my way. And I'm telling you now, Jesus is here to challenge you because you do not respond like that. You do not react like that. Invariably, we are very selfish. We're looking after our own interests, and I'm exactly the same. I'm also learning this process in our lives, and I've got to learn Christ too. I've got to get my mind renewed too, and I've got to get to a place in every situation that comes across my life, I've got to be in a place where I've got to see Christ living through me. So let me tell you, because you're a believer, you can respond as Christ wants you to respond because he's within you. He can train you. He's teaching you how to do that. He wants to bring renewal to your mind, how to do these things. And every situation actually has got to be worked out in a relationship with him. Yes, there's the scriptures that tell us, and that gives us the guideline, but invariably every situation actually needs to go back to him and say, how do I react in this situation? Now, unfortunately, when you look at unbelievers, do not judge them because they do not know how to respond like this. They live with the rules of an unregenerative heart, their whole way of selfishness, of unrighteousness, and they will respond that way. You see, we need to be living the way that God wants us. But we have a choice in this process. You can either do what the Lord tells you to do, or you can be disobedient in that. And you can have a testimony of Christ, or you can have a testimony of the flesh, every single one of us. So yeah, Jesus gets to us, and he says to us, I want you to not to have an eye for an eye. Do not resist those who do evil against you. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn your left cheek. Oh, that is not easy when things like that happen to you, because there are many injustices in this world, and I'm sure there are many injustices. Can I even tell you, the laws of the land are sometimes so unjust in that thing, but what do you do? Are you giving the other cheek in that? Now, that's a very difficult thing to say, but you say, but that's wrong. But what is the Lord telling you to do in that situation? You know, what did the Lord do? It was an injustice when the religious leaders came and said they want this temple tax. He could have said, no, that the scriptures do not teach that. But what did the Lord say? There was a miracle that he said, Peter, go and fish and get the fish and get the money in the fish's mouth, but go and pay the tax that is due to them, that we may not offend them. Whew. So God is not even worried about the money. Well, it's about doing what he says is right. Now, these are difficult things because sometimes people come and they give you a job and they do the thing and they steal your money. I'm going to court and I'm going to sue the pants off them. But is that what Jesus is telling you to do? I'm not saying that you must be a doormat and that you must be stepped on. I think we need to be wise in life and we need to be shrewd. But let me tell you, it's got to be tempered as the Holy Spirit actually leads us in Christ. Because we've got a responsibility to give the left cheek. We've got a responsibility, if they take our shirt, to give them our jacket. We've got the responsibility, if we have to go a mile, we have to go to the second mile. This ain't easy. It's absolutely an impossibility unless you allow Christ to live his life in and through you. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. Because there's a renewal, there's a transformation in your thinking, and then God works together with you and you make that decision. Let me tell you, if you respond as the law and an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you will have the fruit of that. And I'll tell you, that'll be the fruit of the flesh. You will have discord, dissension, division that will come through. But if you respond as Christ tells you to respond, you will experience the fruit of the Spirit. You'll experience the love and the joy, the gentleness, the kindness. And you will be, like James says, be able to rejoice. And I wanted to say to you, maybe prophetically, some of you are facing injustices right now. And you want to get even. And I'm telling you now, hear God. Hear God, what he's saying to you. It might even cost you money. Precious money that you have worked for that is yours. You've paid your tithe, but the reality, the Lord says, turn your cheek. Turn your cheek. Go the extra mile. Not I, but Christ. And I'm telling you, we do not know the ways of the Lord. And we've got to learn the ways of the Lord, because he says, give and lend. Don't refuse. Oh, I'm trained as an accountant. I'm telling you, I battle with that thing. Because my flesh wants to get in there. That this does not balance, Lord. Does not balance. But the reality, when we're led by the Spirit of God in Christ, the Lord will enable us to do this. So when these things start to happen, we mustn't react in these things. We must get to a place where we allow God to work through us in a wonderful life. So what are the basic principles when we get to this whole thing of reasoning when situations arise? So firstly, there's three aspects to these things that you can do when something like that actually happens. You can work out of the level of reasoning, our old ways, and think this is the right way to do it. And you can get angry and you can get irritable in the thing. You can get frustrated in these things. Do you know, I'm a human. I get frustrated in these things, but we've got to find God's ways in these things. So we get to that place and say, no, that's not necessarily right. The reasoning is not necessarily right. But I'll just do the right thing. I'll just be patient and I'll do the good thing. And I want to just say those two levels of being reasoning and even good conduct is maybe not what Christ wants to do. You see, God wants us to live a holy life. Now, we were just in the elders' meeting, prayer meeting this morning, and the Lord reminded me what happened with Moses. And Israel came to him and said to him they wanted water. And the Lord said to Moses, go and speak to the rock. And when you speak to the rock, water will be provided. What did Moses do? He hit the rock. Why did he hit the rock? He was frustrated with Israel, with the people of Israel. He got so angry with Israel, he got into this thing of reason and he's, I'm going to get even with, I'm going to hit the rock. He offended God. He had disobeyed God. And what did God say to him? You did not demonstrate my holiness. What does it mean like that? Because we live a holy life, we represent Christ. And God said to him, speak. And he didn't speak, he got angry, he reacted in the flesh. He lost his inheritance. He saw the promised land, he never went into his promised land because he disobeyed God. We're all in that situation. Every one of us, we can lose a bit of our inheritance because we disobey God. We've got to get to this place that we go beyond who we are, and it's Christ. And I want to just say to you, the good news today is that Jesus is there for you, for you to react in him and to do the right thing, to turn your cheek, to go the extra mile, to give your cloak. That's what Jesus wants to do. It's not about your bank balance and it's not about who you are. It's what Jesus tells you to do, because I really just sense is that you do that, you will experience the fullness of what the Spirit has for you. Jesus was our example. He was falsely accused. He was taken before Pontius Pilate. And how did he respond? Yes, he kept quiet, but then he said, yes, I can get the legions of angels to get me away here. Then he took God's way in this thing. He said, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. And he got beaten. Cat of nine tails, 39 lashes, nearly kills you. Beaten with rods, went to the cross. Nails in his wrists, in his feet, pierced in his side. On the cross there, hardly breathe. You know what it is when you're on the cross like that, the blood and the mucus in your brain, you're actually starting to drown in your lungs. Gets up. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Even in that situation where he's in immense pain, he bears the sin of the world, and he still does it God's way. He showed us the way, even when he was beaten. This is our Lord that's within us. He wants to do the same thing. Maybe you've been beaten. Maybe you've been, the nail's been hitting to you through words that have been said. And maybe you need to let the Lord say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. You see, Christ wants to reveal himself to you. He's not just something that's taking up residence in your heart to just say, well, I've got Christ in me. No, he wants to live through you, and he wants to show you who he is, and he wants to bring glory to the Father. Today, this is what God has for you. And I come and I bring you this good news, this Christ life that's within you. We need to respond to him, no longer putting confidence in the flesh. Not I, but Christ. You see, if you do not respond to him, in a sense, you will remain immature. You will remain small. But if you respond to him and you do it right in Christ, you will grow into maturity and you'll get bigger and stronger. You know, the Bible talks about being a giant. We can rise up into this higher life and become a giant in Christ. But it's your responsibility. How will you respond? And I want to say to you, you need to take everything to the Lord in prayer, in your conversation with him. How would you want, Lord, what do you want me to do? So I really believe there's some, not rules, but there's some principles how to overcome the flesh and to live in the Spirit. Stay in the Word of God daily. Get your mind renewed through Scripture, that you no longer have a carnal mind, but you have a mind of the Spirit, that you can actually think and have the mind of Christ in every situation. Pray daily that you'll not be brought into temptation. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you. Pray that you'll not be led into temptation. And when that comes, know how to resist temptation. Jesus did that in the desert. He overcame through the Word of God, and we need to do the same. And then be led by the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God will put you, what would Christ do in and through you? And then I really do believe the next one is to be an overcomer in that, is to be thankful and praising God in all circumstances. Ephesians 5 verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we can only have confidence in Christ. No confidence in the flesh, not in our own reasons, not in our own self-righteousness, not in our own good, but in Christ. And you know, if we haven't allowed that, we need to ask for forgiveness, because God has provided himself to live life through us, because he wants a testimony of himself in our lives. It will not get to the headlines. It will not be in the front page of the Star. It will not be on Twitter, and it will not be on Facebook. It'll be before the throne room of heaven. And Jesus will say, Father, look at your son. Look at your daughter. Look how they reacted. They brought glory to your name. They did exactly what we told them to do. Your name be glorified, Father. Your name be glorified. That's the testimony of Christ. The testimony of Christ is not just that day that I believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in every situation and circumstance that you find yourself in, that Christ lives his life through you. Your left cheek, your cloak, the extra mile. Now, there are many other things in scriptures where the Lord needs to guide us and direct us, but we need a testimony of Christ, putting no confidence in the flesh. Amen. don't know if you want to minister now, Quinty, and then I can pray too, but maybe you lead and I'll help pray too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. It's an amazing. Before the meeting, in fact, last night, I was just going through some scriptures and it just really dovetailed with what Mark was going to preach this morning. So I thought, let's hold it to this point. I believe that what we've heard this morning, we need to respond to. Sometimes we go out here and by the time we've hit the car, we've forgotten it already. Philippians 3:17, just further on from where Mark was reading, Paul is saying what he's saying with tears because he realizes how important it is that we don't miss this. He says, I've told you before and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that many of those whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross. And this thing of living in the flesh, there are areas of our lives that the way we're living, we're denying the Spirit and we're living as enemies of the cross. And then he says they're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they only think about life here on earth. They only think about life here on earth. That is a trait of this thing of putting our confidence in the flesh. And Hebrews 12 warns us, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting you. These are things that come when we are contemplating and relying on the wrong things. And the final verse, Luke 15. If what God has said to you today has touched a chord, you said, okay, there's something I need to do here. As we were in the prayer meeting outside, the Lord reminded me of this scripture. You remember Jesus spoke about the parable of the prodigal son. There was a particular moment where he came to his senses. And in Luke 15, verse 17, it says, and he finally came to his senses. It took him to get to the really bottom of where he was, suffering in the world that he was living in because he had put his confidence in the flesh, money and all the stuff he'd asked his father for. And then he said, I will go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned before you in heaven. So I want to give an opportunity that we respond to the message the Lord has spoken to us through Mark. Where are we putting confidence in the flesh? You know, it's not natural, as Mark said, to live in the Spirit. And I have this picture almost of the cliff with us on the other side that you can't just jump across. And that is where we live in the Spirit. But we're stuck here on the precipice of the flesh. We just can't get to that place of stepping onto what God has actually said. We're trying to solve our own problems in a fleshly way. That is relying on the flesh. And then we wonder why we've got problems. Because God has made a different way. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. This morning, I want you to take up that, whatever area of it in your life it is. Whether it's at work, you can't get the breakthrough. Whether in your family, you've got issues. Whether in your finances, you've got issues. God has made a way. So I'm going to pray. If you want to say, Lord, there's something in my life that I want to change. There's something in my life that I've now come to my senses this morning that in that area I've been living in the flesh. Then I want you to stand. You're not standing for me. You're standing because the Lord sees what's done in private. So if you're online and you're even alone in your lounge, stand because the Lord sees you standing. So Father, you've spoken to us this morning. You have truly challenged us, Lord. We come to you and we say, Lord, forgive us. Just like the prodigal who came to his senses. That yoke that is breaking our neck. Lord, it is so easy for us to place confidence in the flesh because that's the world we live in. We grew up touching and feeling and seeing. The world of the Spirit is almost foreign to us sometimes. But when we said, yes, Lord, the only way we got saved is by putting our confidence in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And then we oscillate, Lord, back to trusting in our own strength. As I pray, I just reminded, I heard a message years and years ago at Bryanston, and it has stuck with me. It was about solving your own problems. And whoever was speaking, I can't remember who it was, but they said, it's like you've got this rope. And as long as you think you've got more rope, the Lord will leave you. He won't step into your situation. As long as you continue trying to solve your problems in the flesh, the Lord's not going to intervene. And the message was, if you want God to fix your problems, cut off your rope. Stop relying on the flesh. We've got to get to the end like the prodigal son did in the pigsty, realizing that the servants in his father's house had better food than he was eating the slop in a pigsty. And if you've ever seen that, that's disgusting. But some of us are living in that place in our lives. Maybe it's in the privacy of your heart or your mind. So, Father, we declare today, we take a step of faith. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. We need to do this by the Spirit and by your strength. We cannot do this in our own strength. But we know today you've spoken, and we make a decision in our hearts, and we let go in our minds, because we hang on to these things in our minds. The confidence comes from the mind that is overruling the heart that says, follow Jesus. Do what he says. Stand in faith. The word of God is true. The promises of God are true. And we can really, really stand on them. And the devil comes and lies to us and says, no, you can't. So today, you pray. Satan, we read you your rights. And we command you to leave us in the area you've had victory. We revoke those rights and we take authority now, and we will place no more confidence in the flesh in these areas of weakness, in the areas of finance, in the areas of relationship, in the areas of anything, Lord, where we've been trying to solve our own problems in our own strength in the flesh. We want to be lights that shine for you, examples of Christ. The only way we do that, Lord, is by stepping into you and by faith. So we commit ourselves to you, Lord, and we thank you for the privilege of being able to come to you in these situations. Minister to our hearts, Lord. Even now, Lord, as we leave this place, the enemy will come and test that ground. You have to say, as it says in James, resist the devil. Then we can live in victory. It's a continuous fight, but it starts with a step of getting freedom in the areas that we've been in bondage. Thank you, Father. If there's anyone that needs prayer more specifically and you want us to lay hands on you, please come to Mark and myself and we will do that. So, Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. You truly have ministered to us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, come and see us afterwards, and those online, just fill in the form there and we'll follow up with you and get back to you. Amen. Can you be seated? I just want to deal with a family matter quickly. You know, we've got to be practical too in life, and we're a family and we've got some things to do. I think 2 weeks ago I preached on team, and we're really just where we're finding coming post-COVID. Prior to COVID, we had all our hosting teams and things working well, and subsequently all things fallen away, and we're finding that a few are actually doing the work, but we really want to get everyone involved. So we've put some names together, and this is nothing, in a sense, we're not being dictatorial or telling you this will actually happen, but we want to submit it to you, and then if you come speak to myself or Sharon or Robbie, that we can actually work these things out, even those online, we've got some names here, and I'm just going to read them out. So we've normally got a roster, there's things to be done, the screening, there's things to be put, the teas and coffees, there's little things that we need to do on a Sunday morning. And if you'd like to be involved and your names are not on the list, please come and speak to us. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams, A, B, C, DNE. We got some captains, and again, I'm not forcing this upon you, but we're putting names on here so you can help. So Sharon's leading the A team with Pat Wallace, Shay Vaderman, Kayla Goodfellow, Timon, and Joyce. Then Vernon and Vivian on B with Dave Humphrey, Luella, and Brian, and Ruth, and Bongani, and Colleen Siani. C with Trevor and Lynette, with Jehoshaphat, Deborah Fazzoli, Rhonda, Marion Pohl, and Bev Christensen. Team D, Craig and Bernice, with Sabrina, Fleur, Brigitte, Susan, Diane, and Heather. And Arthur and Judy on E, Sandy, Norman, Ann James, Anna, and John, and Ryan Hendry. So if you have a problem with that, please come and speak to that. We really love you to be involved with that. We have teams that are running with all the music and the sound desk and the AV and the media, so that is working. I'm not going to go into that. And then there are teams also to help out with a coffee shop. The captains there are Nitesh and your two lovely daughters, and then Tina with Timon and Andrew. And then there's others that we want to approach, but we'll speak to you personally. If your names are not on that and you really like to get involved, we'd love you to be involved with that. Please come and speak to myself or Sharon or Robbie, and we just give that to you. So if you have a problem with that, please come and let us know, and you will want to get involved. This thing just got to happen. There's work that's got to be done. I know I can do it. Robbie knows he can do it, but we need to do it together, and we'd love you to be involved with that. Can I pray with you? Father, we've had a wonderful time this morning. Lord, you've spoken to us with such clarity. We've been challenged. We've been called to walk in Christ and to know you in a wonderful new way. There's life to live out there, but to have a testimony of Christ, Lord, it's a challenge to us, and we really need your help, and we need your power to do those things. May we not live according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. So thank you for encouraging us today, Lord, as we go out with joy and we walk in the fullness of your Spirit. May we have a testimony and lead many people to know you as Lord and Savior. So thank you for this time, Father. We bring all glory and all honor to you. Thank you for your presence here today, in Jesus' name. So I'm asking you, please don't rush off and go and get into your busyness. Come and share with us. We've got a lovely atmosphere we've created for you. Come and have some coffee with us. There's free coffee and tea there. If you want a cappuccino, you can have a cappuccino. Come and share with us. And especially Philip, come and join us for a free cappuccino there. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for a lovely morning together. God bless you all. Keep on following Jesus. Amen.